All right, let me get Jeff on the phone here.
You're so fancy.
Yeah, look at all the screens I've got.
I know, it's crazy.
Hello.
Hey, how's it going there, Jeff?
You know, it's going sleepy and my voice is shot.
I don't know if he's sexier than you or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, less sexy. Less sexy.
Yeah.
Thanks for waking up.
Yeah, I am.
I feel like it's been a while since we did this.
It's been a minute.
Yeah. We're here. We didn't have a celebrity guest set up. We shit the bed on that.
We usually announce somebody and then, you know, just fail the audience. Fucking amazing. And I am going to tell you one that will blow your mind.
All right. Let's save it for the show. Why don't we get this started?
Yeah.
Everybody's peed. We got beers. All right. And.
Wait, is it cool if we talk about my racism?
I actually encourage you to talk about your racism.
Hold on. My racism about black people, which I'm not. And I actually love black people. And
I might love black people more than you.
Thank you. And not about Eastern Europeans.
It's not a competition, Brad.
Oh. What?
I don't want to bring up. Yeah. Cool. Because I got two anecdotes about that.
Right on. I think Brad might have a follow-up story on that. Okay, we'll get into that as soon as we start.
Let's do it.
All right.
Yo, shout out to my boss. This is one. Hey, get up. King Cow. All Patupa soldiers. That was a Ratcon.
Hello, and welcome back to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. We are here with my good buddy Jeff. Jeff, say hi.
I'm still here. My voice is shot.
And I'm your host, as always, Trevor. And we're coming to you from the I Never Want to Be Young Again studios. Quick intro, please visit our website, ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. All of our episodes are there for free. For now, you guys could send us some money. You could send us money directly, actually, by email at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. You can also send us any stories, any updates. If you like the show, anything would be good. It's suggestions for Marry, Fuck, Kill. And if you've got any of your own stories that I could read on the episode, that would be good as well. Facebook, I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast. And for only 3 or 4 episodes, we are on SoundCloud. Intern Brad got us on there. It's not the avenue we're going to explore, but we put some episodes up there. And we got some likes on episode 3, Drew Tanner's episode.
Really?
Yeah.
Drew Tanner's got some fans. All right, cool.
And you know what? They're,
I mean, I'm sure he's got more than 3, but that's still nice.
They're all lovely ladies. I feel like they know him in real life. And I mean know in the biblical sense. And I'm sure they didn't listen to any other episodes, but Drew's.
So good.
I want to send shout-outs. I'm going to send shout-outs to that guy who delivered my wood. He didn't stack it for me. I bought 2 cords of wood to heat my house this winter. And he didn't stack it for me, but he delivered it. He had a reasonable price, and he didn't fuck me like the last guy who was going to deliver me wood. No shout out to the other guy who was going to get me wood and bailed after like 4 weeks of phone tag.
Yeah. Wait, wasn't there another guy who was going to fuck you by like giving you or delivering it, but then charging you like just like the moon?
You can pay for delivered cord like $350, and I need 2. So 400 to 700 is a bit of a jump. Not that it matters, but I only had to pay like $460, and that's like hardwood and softwood. It's pretty good. This is a boring story.
You know what? Nobody's talking about chopped wood in the podcast game. I want to put that out there. This is groundbreaking stuff.
I'm good for the winter and I can heat my house. Jeff, do you have any shout outs? I'm going to start doing that in the beginning of the episode. It's been 2 weeks since I talked to you. Is there anybody you want to shout out to?
No, nobody. I don't want to shout. Wait, hold on.
I knew there was somebody.
No, I don't want to. I don't want to shout out a single person.
Okay, all right. Where are you calling us from today? Do you know?
Oh yeah, I'm in
just Cluj. The country. Don't have to be too specific.
I'm in Romania.
Okay, cool.
Which is probably surprising to a lot of people.
Not any of our listeners. But why?
Sweet.
Why would it be surprising?
It's just been my personal experience that Romanians drive me goddamn crazy. It's just been my experience, and I've probably only met 20 or 30, and they've driven me crazy, but that's cool because I'm confronting that and coming to learn that there are hundreds of thousands of probably Romanians that don't drive me fucking mental. Probably. I just got here last night.
I've met quite a few Romanians in the surrounding area, and they're a type. I'll give you that. I think, and that's a racist thing to say, but they're a type. They're a type. They're basically gypsies, you know?
Hey, we're a type. You know, yeah. Like Canadians, it's a thing. Like, we all have our own little quirks, and if you don't understand it, if you haven't, like, grown up with it, then it's, you know, kind of hard to handle. Like, you know how annoying it is to some people when we apologize? Some people get offended by it.
I do have a few friends that weren't born and raised in Canada that do say you apologize too much. And you know what I say?
Moving on.
What? I say sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
Yeah, I try to bite my tongue because that's such a reflex, but it's, yeah.
It's our slang. Well.
Yeah, no, I'm just chilling here in Romania. I got an Airbnb because for the past week, I've been at a party hostel with professional drinkers, and I haven't heard silence.
Are you talking about our previous guests of ours? Is that who you're talking about as professional drinkers?
No, let me explain this to you. So this company, this hostel chain, actually, they have about, let's say, a dozen staff. And the staff, yeah, they sort of clean the rooms. Yeah, they sort of, like, do staff stuff. But you know what else they do? Mm. They get paid. Part of their job is to drink all day and to go out and party, to dress up certain ways, and to act stupid. I mean, like, you know, like breakdancing, climbing on monuments.
That's their job?
Just dressing stupid. Or, yeah, because
they're doing it like it's their job.
No, it is their job. That's the only reason you get hired, and you got to keep doing it. You can't take like a Wednesday off and just like not party. You got to party every day.
Sounds tough.
You know what? It sounds like an industry. Like, it sounds like this, because they're party catalysts.
What's your return on investment there? Like, are they paying you back in good times?
No. They're setting a vibe for the rest of the guests so people will go there and have an amazing time. See, even if no legitimate guests are, we'll say, like, getting up to antics, they'll be amused by these staff that are.
Well, I guess that is a kind of an industry. And
and
are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I am. It's kind of like the way, like, some nightclubs hire hot women to just hang around and talk to people. And not like spit on them.
That's a good illusion. I get that. Get hot when you stand in line.
Yeah, it's kind of the same.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Well, we forgot to do something in the last episode. We never talked about
MFK.
No, we did. We did Marry, Fuck, Kill. It was Saved by the Bell edition.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Remember, I.
But what? What did we forget?
We forgot to say to. Announce a celebrity guest.
Oh, that's right.
And you know how, like, that's sometimes right. We don't get the guest?
You know what? Agents, I mean, I get it. People are busy, and, you know, you got to have something in for them.
Jeff, you're giving them way too much slack. Fuck them. Anybody who I've invited on this podcast and hasn't come on, just fuck them. You hear that, Bill Nye, the science guy? China gets a pass.
Yeah, okay. Well, like, if anybody gets a pass, I think it should be Amy Winehouse. Like, you know, you can get all offended. Like, I haven't been keeping up on her career, but I mean, I think we all know how that went. And I don't even know who to apologize, but I was mistaken and I'm sorry. I understand that she's not coming.
Yes, Amy Winehouse won't be coming in. So instead of doing the dig where we apologize for that, I'll introduce our actual guest today.
Yeah.
It's Brad. We never asked about last names. We're not going to use his last name. No. We're going to call him Bebop and Brad. So Bebop and Brad is somebody I've known for 7 or so years, I'd say. And he has a very respectable beard, which I respect. And say hi. Welcome to the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast.
Well, I want to say thank you for having me on. I'm super excited to be here. I'm a huge fan.
Huge fan. Yeah, you have been listening to some episodes, you were saying, when you got here.
Yeah, I was listening to one on the way. Awesome. Know, some little dick poisoning for my drive over.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Great episode.
I know Brad because we work in the similar car industry.
We do.
That's where we first met. We don't work together anymore, but...
Unfortunately, yeah. No, there's some sort of rule in the auto industry that there's only one great beer per dealership.
You can tell my boss that. There's only room for one great beard.
No one talks to that guy.
Oh, I do.
Does Brad have a great beard?
It's a pretty good beard. It's black beard.
By the way, I didn't know we were talking about Bebop and Brad. You say you have Brad, a guy you knew. And I didn't know it was Bebop and Brad because I think I might have heard that name before. That sort of helps me understand what we're talking about here.
Okay, good, because I think I've only ever called Brad the intern Bebop and Brad.
Different Brad.
Not to confuse you, maybe.
I tried to get the internship here, but Trevor said no dice.
No, me and this Brad.
I am confused. It's 5 in the morning.
Romanian time.
No, I disagree. It is 8 o'clock in the evening.
Oh, my bad. You know what? I must have been looking at that wrong.
8:08 on a Friday, because this is when you're listening to it on Friday. So, Brad, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, you pretty much know everything about me, but obviously the viewers don't, and I know there's a vast amount of them out there listening right now going, why the hell do you bring this guy on?
I know a creepy amount about you.
Like, we're going to stay away from those ones. A little bit about myself. I'm getting old as fuck now. And this is the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, but I am definitely getting up there.
Would like to be young again?
I would maybe a little bit, but you know what?
What year were you born?
That one.
That one?
That's
okay.
The one, yeah.
Oh, that year.
I will say it was before 1980.
All right.
Don't judge.
I won't judge.
You're judging. I see those eyes.
I knew how old you were before.
I know. Fair enough. Father of three. Did it all on my own. You know, I've been divorced for a minute and...
That is something
forever,
that,
actually.
That I guess when I first got to know you, I was impressed with right away is because you were a single dad of three kids. Two daughters, nonetheless.
Oh, don't remind me.
Which is untypical because there's a lot of single moms out there.
Yes.
And I think less single dads.
Less dads will step up to the plate, I guess. Maybe not the nicest thing to say all those dads out there, but the women tend to fight harder for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because of carrying for 9 months.
Does anyone call you a hero or that you're so strong or so brave or something?
Yes,
I feel like
every
that's
day.
Something we would do. Okay, not just me.
Oh, you use that to get laid a lot, didn't you? It's just me. I sometimes pretend when I'm out with Chase, I pretend that Michelle died in childbirth and
a solid PFA, pity fuck.
Yeah.
I just sort of throw it out there.
Me
like,
and Hank.
We got each other, you know, that's all we need. But we miss her.
Nudge,
you know?
Nudge, he goes to bed at 8.
Michelle loves that joke.
I love that joke. That's great.
And
it's like having a dog. You're allowed to take your dog in the grocery store here. And I tell you what, I would kill it at the grocery store if I could have come here with my dog.
Oliver?
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Was he a pussy magnet? Like,
are you kidding me? Girls love that. They're like, oh, cute dog. And I'm like, I love your tits.
You know what?
And I wouldn't say that. That'd be my inner monologue.
Well, no, they say cute dog, and you like, you know what? I love puppies.
Jeff, I'm going to...
Those puppies.
I don't have a very big dog myself. And Oliver wasn't a very big dog. But you know when I got talked to the most? When I had intern Brad's dogs. Because he's got like the Mastiffs, right?
Oh, the big boys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That now there's a poonhound right there. That'll...
The big goofy boys, Because they're not big and scary. They're big and, like, lovable. Dopey.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, absolutely.
Anyways, Brad's a father of three.
Three wonderful kids.
Mm. What are their ages now?
Oh, man, don't put me on the spot.
Oh, okay.
The oldest is 21. Then I got an 18-year-old. And then the youngest is 15.
But you had
and
them
full,
young,
full
too.
Full of piss and vinegar.
Because you don't look like you have a 21-year-old.
No. Most of the time, if we go out together, they're like, oh, he's got a...
Because you're a
young girlfriend.
You're a trendy guy, and you're in good shape, and I think you maybe work a little bit at trying to look younger than you are, and that might be on your agenda, and it's working. You look younger than me.
Well, we don't want to get to where the unmentioned boss is.
No. And you know what? I'm going to pass through that. So what else can you tell us about you? You're father of three. What else?
Father
you got going
of three.
On?
You know, I've been just got married.
Yes.
Just got married to my beautiful wife.
Mazel tov.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thank you, sir. I'm definitely punching above my weight class.
Oh, yeah. No, your wife is a pretty lady.
Yeah. People just look at her and me and go, what the fuck?
No, they don't look at you.
No, they're not looking at me.
I forget.
I like to think they're looking at me, but we all know they're not looking at me. They're looking through me to look at her.
Jeff, you know what? Yeah. I'm gonna
you
text
you. I did that for a long time.
She's going to appreciate that.
And you just got married.
Just got married.
You had two weddings.
We had two weddings. We actually did. My wife is actually from Sierra Leone, in beautiful West Africa, and she's been here forever and a day. But when we did our traditional wedding, we flew all the way up to Sierra Leone, and that was definitely an experience. I mean, you know what a wedding's like here in Canada. Obviously, you've been to a few. Going to Africa and doing it is totally different. First and foremost, you don't even get to see her for the whole day. And then I show up and I sit on a mat and they say a bunch of stuff. And next thing you know, we're married.
Is that what it was like?
It was pretty much that. Yeah.
Was it outside or inside?
It was inside in the family home. But they figure in West Africa, they think in Sierra Leone, they think that anyone who's not black is white. So they had a man stand in for me whose name was Tarif, who was Lebanese. And when we met, he looked at me and I looked at him and we both were like, we're not the same.
So... The guy standing, you're losing me there. The guy stood in for you?
He's like my father, right? Because my dad passed away. So, yeah.
Oh, and they...
Yeah, he was the one who gave me away.
They wanted somebody who was white to do that?
They wanted someone who looked like me.
Is that important?
I don't think it's important, but, you know, it worked. Tarif was a nice man. He sat there. He did what he had to do. Because the whole traditional part, he's got to give away from the groom side to the bride side. So, totally different, right? Mm-hmm. He's got to stand there for me because I wasn't there. I show up after everything's already done. There's a dowry that's paid. There's all these things that go on.
Okay.
And then I show up and they're like, ta-da, here's your bride.
Can I ask a personal question?
Because
you just brought something up. Did you get a dowry?
I
want to
know too.
No, I pay the dowry.
Oh, how much did your wife cost you? Never mind. You don't have to say. You know what? I retract my question. But that's some old school shit.
It's definitely old school. But when you're going to another country, you got to follow their traditions and their culture, right? So
I guess what you call whitewashed, right? Like I know our culture and stuff, and I'm interested in others, but I know so little. I'm not well traveled.
If you ever get the chance to travel, obviously your eyes will be open. But here's the thing: is traveling to a country where you have family is different than traveling to a country where you've just seen things. Like right now, Jeff's in Romania, but he's not there in authentic Romania.
Just seeing things.
Do you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If you get the inside look of it, you're like, okay, this is different. I mean, I drove a car in Sierra Leone. Do you know what driving a car in Sierra Leone entails?
I didn't even know they still had dowry, so obviously, no, I don't think
big
I did.
Big balls.
Oh, yeah?
There was no traffic lights. You imagine 5 million people in the space of like BC.
Oh, yeah.
Driving cars without licenses, without seatbelts. You've got a 7-passenger minivan. Yeah, it's 25 people.
I guess there's probably a lot of cars, like, because it doesn't rain much there in Sierra Leone.
Sierra Leone. It's very rainy there.
Oh, okay, so.
Yeah, but I've been there, both times I've been there was in December, January, which is their hot season. Their rainy season is in our hot season, so. Just this past summer, they actually had a lot of flooding. A lot of deaths there, unfortunately, but we'll keep that for the next time.
Now, and you've already mentioned that you're white. What's your heritage? I know you're Canadian, but Canadian what?
Well, it's like any Canadian, right? A little bit of a shit mix.
Yeah.
On my dad's side, Italian. and German on my mom's side's like Irish or Scottish, something.
Yeah,
like
a bit of a mix, right?
Yeah.
And everybody, you're marrying into a different culture, right? And their daughter, sister, cousin, their family,
yes,
moved to Canada, met a Canadian guy, and is coming back to marry him. And that's, if you did they feel welcoming? Were they?
Oh, 100%, 100%. Arms wide open. Interestingly enough,
you're a good guy. I mean,
I'm nice enough.
You're nice enough.
Let's go with that. You're not good. I'm nice enough.
You're not good enough for Rachel, who I've
definitely not
only met a few times, but I still think a lot of her.
Yeah, of course.
And but they obviously, she's obviously said good things about you, and they know you're getting married.
Just to give you a little bit of insight of what it's like going into a country where there's not a lot of, I guess, genuine Canadian white people, whatever you want to say. And it's not about color or anything like that. But going somewhere like that, you show up and like her little nieces, cousins, they're very small, but they're like white man. First time they ever seen a white man in person.
Oh.
Like legitimately never seen a white man. So enthralled. Her little cousin Esther literally said,
like poking you and stuff like.
Oh, 100%. Like, well, and I have tattoos too, right? So there's no tattoos there. So they're like asking if it's real. Is it painted on? How does it go on? And then they're like, did your skin feel the same?
Because you have a lot of tattoos.
I have a few tattoos, yeah. And then, of course, Esther's like, I want a white man. I want to move to Canada and I want to get myself a white man.
How old is she?
Six.
She's like, I like white guys. Yeah. And,
Oh, no.
I got to meet her granddad, her grandpa, KT, 96, 97 years old.
Ooh.
Yeah, still kicking it.
Wow.
Used to be in the, and I don't know if you guys know anything about Sierra Leone, but it's, you know, Blood Diamonds.
I've seen a movie called Blood
Diamond. There's a movie that's based on her country. She left her country because
Kanye.
Yeah, he touches on it, but her grandfather was in the diamond business.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he was in the diamond business. So she grew up with people bringing diamonds into the kitchen and dumping them on the table. Right?
Wow.
Yeah, insane stuff. And they had to leave the country because of the war.
Yeah. Because there was diamonds, so people fought over them, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, trade diamonds for weapons, take over the country, that good stuff.
Well, that's a...
Wow.
Now, what I got a question, because I always ask this about other countries. What's the food like?
African food is unbelievable.
Good or unbelievable bad?
No, unbelievably good. People are not going to understand what it is, but like everything's obviously fresh.
Everything's like, fresh, yeah.
You eat goat here, it's probably frozen goat meat from Superstore or wherever, right? There, literally, the goat, you were just petting it.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, it's very rural that way.
Oh, 100%.
Farm to plate.
100%. And then there's things that you don't expect, like same with the chicken, right? So a lot of fried chicken, goat.
Spicy food,
yeah.
Yeah.
Things like potato leaf, cassava leaf, cassava roots.
Cool.
Listeners are going, what the hell is this guy talking about? No. Yeah, of course, people never had a cheeseburger there.
Oh, yeah?
Like, I'm talking about stuff, and they're like, yeah, I don't know what that is. McDonald's, never seen it. Never seen what McDonald's is. They don't know what a Burger King is. There's no fast food.
Really? Wow.
Well, there's fast food.
The food
runs really fast sometimes.
Very, very quick. You've never seen anyone run so fast to catch a chicken.
And did you see, like, wildlife? Did you see any, like, elephants or tigers or...
No, not in West Africa. There's the chimpanzees and stuff like that, but you don't really see them.
Mm.
Lots of dogs and cats and stuff like that, but nothing crazy. No dinosaurs or anything.
we'd believe you. Jeff might even just go over there and check it out because he seems to be traveling with us.
He's not that far away.
You know what?
That's true. I'm really not that far away.
It's a hop, skip, and a jump.
Well, maybe,
yeah, I
maybe
know. Somebody was trying to convince me to go to Israel, and then I'm like, well, if I'm going to go there, I might as well go everywhere else. No.
you
got to stop the snowball.
You know what I would like to bring up is that you've been met up with some previous guests of the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I think I have, actually.
Yeah, who have you met up with that has been on the show?
Let's see. I don't remember the episode number they were on, but... met up with Joel and
episode
and
one
also Austin
episode
yeah,
five
and also yeah there you go, because it turns out the three of us are on separate unrelated vacations and we just thought it might be a good idea to get together in Budapest for I don't know like was it like 4 or 5 days and just you know kill ourselves.
Okay,
because like that's how I feel. Like, you can hear my voice is ruined.
And, well, they like to party.
But we've been barely sleeping, and the opposite of barely drinking. And, yeah, it's just been a thing.
Well,
You know what's been a bonding experience? I never in my life thought that we would be – that me, Joel, and Austin would be in Budapest. I never thought that in my life.
Just making memories, huh?
Yeah, I made some hilarious memories.
See, the nice thing about traveling in this day and age is that you have your phone with you, which has a beautiful camera on it, and you can catch all sorts of weird-ass shit.
And you know what the other thing about traveling these days is? Everybody speaks English. Like, even just if they speak a little bit. So my ignorant white North American self doesn't have to learn any of anybody's language.
Fair enough, but at least you're Canadian.
I'm not bragging about that. I'm aware of it.
In Croatia, you bragged about it. you pointed out you were making an effort to not learn a single letter of the Croatian language.
Yeah, no, absolutely. But... And I did, you know, like, and I made it through, didn't learn, like, hello, because they say, oh, you know, every Canadian traveler knows how to say please and thank you, and blah, blah, blah. Nope, not me. And I normally do, like, if I, you know, like, in a French-speaking or a German-speaking or a Spanish-speaking country, I will, I know, like, a few words. But you know what? I'm not going to spread myself too thin. I don't want to know like 10 words in 12 languages. That's useless.
But you also have to remember, Jeff, you know, I'm going to assume you're over the age of 30.
Sure.
Okay. We'll go with that. Every new word.
Not to the girls we've met this week.
No, 23.
Anybody asks, I'm 29.
You just have to remember every word that you learn, you lose something. So be careful.
Oh, don't learn
too
much.
Is that true?
I have no idea, but maybe.
That might be true. I don't know, but thanks for... Yeah, okay.
We're just trying to look out for you over here.
About that. I appreciate it. But I've been getting by just fine, and yeah, this...
You would in Europe.
Traveling with smartphones, I think, is so much different than people who traveled back with maps when English hadn't taken over the world. I got to tip my hat to those people who had a little pocket dictionary and had to do everything like that. You know, that's tough.
That is, you know what? That is tough.
Tip of the hat.
Yeah, sorry, Michelle just came in and brought us some provisions. She brought some ice for Brad's drink.
Nom, nom, nom.
I'm going to tell a quick story, actually, about selling a car to a family from China, a Chinese family.
Janet?
What's that?
Not Janet.
No. Okay. These people had only been in BC for a day. They had a hotel room, and you're trying to finance or lease a car with somebody who's
no permanent residence,
no address,
new to the country.
They ended up paying cash. There was no way to do it, but they wanted to buy a car. I think they just visited a couple of dealerships, and people just waved them off because out of the four or five of them, there was a lot of older people. So I think there was like grandparents, parents, and a son, right? And the son could kind of read English and knew a couple of words in English. I know they teach that shit in Chinese school.
So he could slightly get by.
I tried to use Google Translator. Now, between him understanding a little bit of what I was writing in English, because Google Translator butchered their language. They're like, it doesn't make sense. Yep. It doesn't make sense what you're saying. One word they did know in English, discount. That's one word all five of them knew.
I think that's a universal word.
Yeah. Brad is actually, we met in the auto industry, although unfortunately we don't work again together now. But, you know, you never
But we
know
do
what's
work.
Happen.
We're not going to tell you where or what, but we do work for the same brand. So we do get to see each other, what, every 3 months or so?
We saw each other recently at training.
Yeah,
which
he held my hand. He petted it. It was nice. He's a nice guy.
We killed it in the training. We had a blast on the first section.
Oh yeah, it was
second
awesome.
Section was a dive bomb.
The food was terrible.
Yeah. What's my experience in the auto industry?
Working in the car industry. I have been in the industry since forever and a day. You know,
yeah, longer than I have.
Like I told you, I'm before 1980, so I've been around for a minute. I've been through.
And you've had a couple of different hats.
I've had a few different hats, and one of the favorite hats that I used to wear was being lot bitch. It was fun.
That was one of your favorites, eh?
It was one of my favorites because you had no real responsibility.
And you're hanging with salesmen who all want to act super cool in front of the young guy.
Exactly.
I do.
Exactly. I mean, obviously, this was before energy drinks and stuff like that, so they weren't buying me anything like that. But, you know, they would...
They were doing coke.
Probably. Probably.
Yeah, they were.
Why is the bathroom locked again?
80s, 90s car sales? Fuck yeah.
So, yeah, being a lot bitch was fun. I mean, you got to... my favorite days, actually, obviously, it's BC, so we get a fair amount of rain. So washing the entire lot with 300 cars on it when it rains is a lot easier than when it's hot as fuck out.
Oh, yeah? Really? Oh, 100%. I always thought it'd be better to wash them in the sun.
You'd think until you try to wash one car and it soap dries. And then your boss comes out and yells at you because the car looks like shit.
Yeah,
if it's raining, it just looks fantastic. And you skip a few. You know, 300, I wash two. It's the same thing. I'm going to be back here tomorrow.
You stood there with a brush. Every time somebody looked, you were washing a car.
100%. 100%. So, I mean, that was where I started. And I appreciate it, but I do recall the first time I got to go and do a dealer trade.
Mm-hmm.
Now, generally when you work for a dealership...
Wait, what's a dealer trade?
A dealer trade is when you're taking one vehicle from your lot and trading it for another one that may have been sold or whatnot.
Usually a new vehicle because you didn't have the right color or something, right?
Exactly. And just so happened this time it was a Corvette.
Oh.
So my first...
How old are you?
19.
I should have been a lot bitch when I was
young. Yeah, so I'm working there for maybe 6 months, and that's really not my job. They had people that worked for the sales part. I just washed the lot. I was the literal lot bitch, right? So I grabbed lunch and did that shit. So when they called me up, I was like, okay, fantastic. Grabbed the keys to this Corvette, beautiful yellow standout Corvette. And I'm taking it from Surrey.
Was it hard to drive with an erection?
Oh, well, I kept shifting the wrong handle. So going from Surrey to Coquitlam in this car. So I'm like, I probably was doing 150, 160 on the highway in this thing.
D-plate flapping in the breeze.
You would think so, wouldn't you? You would think so. So I show up at the dealership in Coquitlam, and I bring the pouch in, and I'm picking up another Corvette. It's fantastic. And now I'm driving a red one. Unfortunately, this one's an automatic, but that's okay. So I bring in the pouch, and I give it to the front desk, and the sales manager comes out, and he says, great, so just grab your D-plate off your car and head back. And I'm standing there like an idiot. What's a D-plate?
Oh, wow. So for those listeners who don't know, a D-plate...
Demonstration plate.
...is... We can put that on different cars. It ensures a bunch of new inventory so you can switch this plate. And it's in a little purse thing that you put in the trunk. And it hangs in the back. And you can see... It's a license plate, essentially.
That's what Trevor was saying, flapping in the wind.
And in BC, driving without insurance or a license plate is
a big no-no.
That's a,
especially doing 160 on the highway.
Well,
in a flashy
probably
car.
Tried to stop you. They just, you just didn't notice it. Boing!
I probably didn't notice. So suffice to say, driving the red one back to the dealership, I was very cautious and nervous, and it probably took me three times as long.
Oh, because you had no D plate and you knew it.
Of course, and I didn't ask the sales manager at the time. I didn't go and ask him what the D plate was or where it was. I just put the car, gave the keys, and walked away. And the next time I was asked to do a dealer trade, I asked where the D plates were from a sales guy because he didn't give a shit.
There, in our business, there is very little guidance.
Yeah.
There's a lot like, what do you mean you don't know this?
Yeah. Here's keys and there's your brush, or here's keys and here's a information packet on the car. Go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll give, I remember when I was a new salesperson, they like love to give you shitty jobs. They'll be like, giant truck, giant Tundra, long box, lift. They're like, here, they found a parking spot you could not fit this car into. And they're like, hey, Trevor, can you park this in that spot there?
That's where we
like,
always
park. I don't think it'll fit. And he's like, yeah, it fits in there. I'm like, so I'm like, oh my God. And they love to fuck with you because you're driving stuff that's so expensive. Like, how much is a new Corvette? 70 to 120,000?
Had to have been.
Yeah. Now that's nothing. I could drive a Beamer and not care. Like, I drive.
But go back in time to when you were 19 and someone hands you the keys to a car like that, you're like, oh my God.
You see it on a test drive. People get in the car. Mm-hmm. Good drivers will get into a car on a test drive and become shitty drivers because 100%. It's not their car. You're in there talking to them, watching them, and you're trying not to talk to them too much if they're uncomfortable because it's a distraction. But
think about it like this, Trevor. It's the first time you're with that new girl. She's special. It's a little awkward.
Depends on how drunk you don't... I am.
Well,
it might be special.
You're not test driving cars when you're drunk. Again, remember?
Not anymore.
If I was test driving Corvettes, I'd be picking girls up. I'd be at least trying to. I'd be pulling over at bus stops and like asking for directions and shit, and like offering rides. I'd be like, hey, blah blah blah, you know, like for real, like some cheesy lowbrow shit.
Well, me and Brad have used our dealership involvement to show up in cars that are well above our income level 100% to show off. Yeah. That
the pay grade does not explain the ride.
Our job is almost entirely perks.
Well, I mean, luckily, you know, in the industry, you get to move forward or you can move sideways. You can do whatever you want. You can go into the shop, you can do whatever. But I decided to take on the auto sales route.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have a little story about my first couple of test drives.
So you're a new salesperson?
I'm a new sales guy. Different dealership, though. Still domestic, though, unfortunately, but different. You know, yeah, throwing, slanging some caravans and a couple PT cruises and some really ghetto rides.
Oh, yeah. Really the good rides. Stuff. The good stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, you get those old white guys that come in.
Yeah?
Like, yeah, I want to waste your time for half a day on a Saturday when you don't know what the fuck you're doing. I want to take 13 cars to test drive.
And they're just retired. They just like cars.
Yeah. So I used to work with this guy, Terry, who had been doing it for 30.
Shout out to Terry.
Terry's a good guy. I hope he's still with us. But he would screw me on the floor. Literally, this guy would up someone and I had no idea. So he'd take a customer and deal with them and he'd qualify them and then say, you know what? If they're going to buy, I don't have the time for it. There's other people. Brad, come help them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got that shit when I was
exactly.
New too.
So you end up dealing with this guy. So I get this old timer and he's got an old caravan.
For those of us who aren't in the business, an up is a new client that walks on the lot. And we go through a rotation so that a bunch of salespeople don't climb all over them, although some dealerships let you do that. But in a lot of places I've worked, they try to make it so that it's your up. You can watch someone, let them look at the lot, approach them at a time. If you're good, nobody's giving you shit about how you do it, right?
Most dealerships are a gentleman's agreement.
But there's a bunch of tricks because you don't want to waste it because that's your up. Exactly. You might not talk to another person that day. So what you do is he's sliding these duds on you. He's cherry picking.
Exactly.
He's going through them. He's qualifying them. And then he's like, hey, Brad, it's your up. You're
because
up.
I might sell him a car and he's going to get half a deal. So that's
because he turned
thinking.
Him over too.
Exactly.
Oh.
So, I mean, regardless of that, this guy, this old timer, wants to take a caravan out for a test drive. And he's driving an old caravan and, you know, I touch a little bit on, are you trading it in, replacing it, whatever. And I didn't think it was weird because at this point I've already been selling cars for about 3 months. So I didn't think it was weird that he wanted to see if it fit in his garage.
That
seems fairly normal, right?
I'll suggest it sometimes.
So we get to his house, and he lives in a fairly nice area, and, you know, he has the clicker, and he opens up the garage, and he pulls it in, and I'm like, okay, this seems like it's going to fit, and he goes, I'm just going to see if the door closes. So he walks behind the van, and he makes sure that the door is going to close, but he actually closes the garage door. And then subtly suggests, as he's standing by the door that enters his home, that I come in for a drink.
Oh.
And I kind of lost my shit. I'm like, I'm working. I start getting flustered.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like 21 at the time. I'm like, no, I should probably head back to the dealership. And then he's like, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do.
Whoa.
That's when I say, open the fucking garage. I snatch the keys. Oh, it got rapey real quick. The second you say that, it's because you're going to make me do all sorts of things.
Yeah, when you come right out and say it, it's like coming out and say, I'm not going to make you do anything you don't want to do.
I mean, and it doesn't end there because...
Which is exactly what he said.
you guys have to remember, too, the guy's car is still at the dealership, so he's going to end up back there. I leave, I take the van, I open the garage, and I get the hell out of Dodge, literally.
Oh, and you left him there.
I left him there, good and he shows up a couple hours later, and I don't really want to say anything to my manager because it's weird as fuck. And... he doesn't really want to not help the guy because the guy come back in. He's like, I want to buy the car. Your sales guy left me at my house. So I kind of got reamed out and I had to end up telling them what happened.
So
the guy,
so this guy came forward and said.
He said he left me at my house. So then I got her talking to after the fact. He ended up, it didn't buy a car. Doesn't even matter. But yeah, so I ended up telling them what happened. They're like, holy shit, that guy's been buying cars here forever. I'm like, and he's probably touched a few people.
Brad, you're just not willing to do everything it takes to get the sale. That's what I'm hearing. If you're one of my guys, we'd be having a talking. I'd be like, you can't take one in the mouth for the team. Like,
not on this particular transaction.
We didn't hire you for your brains there, pretty boy. Come on.
Yeah, but Brad, isn't there a little bit more like a commission on a domestic site? Wouldn't that have been like...
I could have been giving up a little bit of coin.
Like, let's not talk about dollars, but I mean that might have been like a fairly good rate, like
as far
the rate
as
of return.
I mean like the prostitute in you in that situation that would be like, you know, whoring yourself for the deal. Like that's kind of a deal, right?
That's
like,
a lot of people are doing it for less.
Here's the thing, though, Jeff. You got to remember, at 21, you're not all there. You're not there. You're still young. I mean, at 30, you'd probably like, you know what? It's worth it. I'm going to get a $350 flat on this car. It's 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. See, this is exactly what I'm saying, but yeah, I mean,
at 21, you don't have the whereabouts to even understand what's going on. You just want to get the hell out of there.
No, no. Yeah, because you got instincts and nothing but instincts and feelings.
It's funny, but when you're young and when you're first in the business and you're trying to be what you think a salesman's supposed to be. That's what you are in the beginning, right? And I don't fault any new guys for it. It's how I started. You try to be. Now I'm comfortable in my skin, so I go on a test drive. I'll tell you a story that happened to me not too long ago. Italian lady and her son. Her son and his girlfriend had bought a car for me before. I had a great experience. We've got a good rapport. He comes back and brings his mom to me, and she's an Italian woman who's 5'2", and her son is a big dude. And we drive this car. We go for the test drive, and we drive two cars. In the first car, her son sat in the passenger seat. I sat in the back, and we went and took the drive. And she's talking to him, and then when she's talking to him, she's like tapping him on the arm, and she's Italian in her way of talking.
Yeah, very expressive.
We come back to the dealership. She's like, okay, let's drive another car. He's like, yeah, you can go with Trevor. I'm just going to stay here. You go with Trevor. So I jump in the passenger seat, and she drives around. And she goes, I want to open it up, the car. Like, I want to drive fast. So I go, oh, just drive down this road, make a right. Speed limit's 80. You can go from a slow speed and just gun it. Go ahead and just, you know, be aware of your speeds at 80. So she gives her, and she's happy about it. And she's like, well, and she hits me. She's just a little old lady. She hits me. And she goes, did you see that? And I go, I looked at her. And she looked at me. She was surprised because her son was sitting beside her. First, she goes, I looked at her. I go, you hit me. And she goes, oh, my God. I didn't mean to. I mean, I know I'm going to make her feel bad. But I'm comfortable in my skin. And I know I can get away with, you just hit me. She goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, I'll give you one. Okay? I'll give you one. And the next time you hit me, though.
You bought a car.
or shit's going to get hairy, you know? Like, yeah. And it's funny how when I was younger, I didn't have that confidence to have that, you know, to put somebody on the spot a bit. And we were just having fun. I never made her feel uncomfortable, but she did hit me. Just saying.
But you had to let her know. You had to put her in her place.
Yeah.
And did she buy?
She did. She loved her car. Gave me a great segment. She will probably send a lot of her friends to me. It was a good experience. You know what?
Are we getting to that time already, Trevor?
It is. Because you're a fan, you know that we have a segment coming up. Marry, fuck, kill. Jeff?
Oh, who are we doing?
Okay.
Ideally, all of them, but that's not the game.
We've got Diane Chambers from Cheers.
Classy lady.
Do you remember? Okay, I gotcha. Yeah. I'm a Cheers fan.
Oh, wait. It wasn't Diana Chambers. It was Carol.
No, it's Diane.
Carol Brady.
Yeah.
Carol Brady from the Brady Bunch.
So Which one's that?
She's the mom.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Gotcha, yeah, okay. So she's a cute mom. She's a MILF. And we've got Hot
Isn't
Lips.
Florence Henderson?
Yes.
Yeah, Florence Henderson.
Okay, yeah.
And we've got Hot Lips Houlihan from MASH.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Her name. Yeah.
You know what? As the guest, we'll let the guest start. Do you know who you're going to marry, fucking kill?
I definitely know who I'd marry, fucking kill.
Let's start with Mary.
It's pretty simple, obviously. In my books, you marry Hot Lips.
Okay.
For a simple reason. Pent the fuck up. She's been in MASH. She's been in the army.
I'm going to say something about that real quick.
What?
She was married. But who did she fuck? Frank. So she was married, and she wasn't a very faithful wife.
No, and she had bad judgment.
But Hot Lips.
Okay. Yeah, like she, yeah.
Hey, no, I'm not judging your wife here, Brad, but she's got a history.
I guess I'm okay with that. I have no choice now.
You
I
have a history too, I guess.
War.
I already married her, so.
I wouldn't chance it.
And then
so you're going to marry her.
Yeah. And then I would fuck Carol Brady.
Yeah?
Oddly enough, for the same reason, pent up.
Now they're out of. She's got some pent up. She's gonna be tight.
I mean, if you remember, her husband on the show was actually of a slightly different persuasion.
I feel like I'm criticizing you, but three kids, you know, and that third one walked out. I hear.
Well, there you go, right? Maybe that's the reason. And obviously, then if the last one is kill, it would be Diane. And why? Because she's simply 1980 crazy.
She's a bitch.
She's, yeah. There's, you can't.
She's as bitch. She's as bitchy as hair is big. I'll give you that one. That is one we don't argue on.
There you go.
Brad, I don't want to start shit, but I disagree with you so hard on all those, and I can't wait till it's my turn.
You know what? Why? You don't have to wait. It's your turn right now.
Oh, I like that.
Wait.
Okay. I am going to marry Florence Henderson because she was apparently a really nice lady. She's beautiful. And if she's any kind of like homemaker, like she was on TV, she might make like a kind of cool wife. And remember, she was pretty and very sweet. I am going to fuck Diane from Cheers. Let me tell you why. Because in this game, it's a sure thing. Like, you know you're going to be able to smash. So she is all kinds of batshit crazy. And it's been my experience that that's the best time. And while, like, realistically, it might be a nightmare trying to get her to fuck you. But once you finally do, that's the reward. That's the payoff.
It was a nightmare
with all her crazy stuff.
If I remember correctly, you know, it was a nightmare for Mayday Malone.
Yeah.
You know?
Sam Malone. No.
It was not an easy betting for him.
You know what? And he was a baseball player, so hey.
and he had a Corvette.
and I'm gonna kill Hot Lips, I forget what her name was, because she's cheating on her husband with a dipshit, and I question her judgment, and you know, because of my own like, yeah, I just think that's a shitty thing to do.
You know what? She's kind of the most garbage person on the list.
She is. She was kind of.
I don't care if she's done military service, and I don't like to talk bad about veterans, especially hoary veterans. But
maybe I like a challenge.
and we're talking some shit about your wife here.
Uptight, sorry, though. Yeah.
Well, she's military. So she's militant. Whiny. She was militant.
But anyway, those are. That's what I think. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I guess that's up to me now. So
yeah, Trevor, what do you have to say about this?
He's going
to
sister wife it. He's going to marry all of them.
You going to agree with me, or are you going to agree with your friend Brad?
I'm going to. Carol Brady is going to be my wife, and she is. If she can be the mother to six kids, fuck. We only have to have a couple. She's got that classic old school. Hot Lips Houlihan, she has a job, and that gives her some amount of entitlement.
Ooh, yeah,
Mrs. Brady,
that's all living shit.
Carol, I gotta go get used to calling her by her first name, not the name of a husband. That isn't me, but she's gonna be the best wife, I think, and she strikes me as somebody who like knows that a wife is that his classical sense of a wife is cooking and cleaning, but also wifely duties. Do I have to explain what I mean by wifely duties?
Explain.
Wow, this show got really
you need to explain.
No, for real. You know what? I think
she'll sex me up. I think she'll sex me up when I need it. Yeah, I think she wants to
stroke the shaft.
I think she wants to.
No. I think her just like because she's fictional, but just like Martha Stewart, I think she like the effort that she puts into like housework and like the little details and stuff like that. I bet she also puts into like, you know,
the little details
together. It's the little details. I bet she tries to make her quote unquote wifely duties. I bet she tries to like knock it out of the park in the same way that she tries to. Yeah.
Yeah. She's a chef in the kitchen.
Perfect.
She's a chef in the kitchen. She's a maid on the housework. And she's an acrobat in the fucking bedroom. Carol Brady.
Professionals.
They had a maid.
Mrs. Trevor. You know what? Fuck it. She can have
so
a maid.
So she has more time for the bedroom.
She has more time for the bedroom. I bet she made up for it. She was worth a maid. I'm going to fuck Hot Lips Houlihan. I'm going to fuck her nasty. Do you know why? Out of the three, she's the one that's going to do butt stuff. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah.
I don't see Diane doing it. Carol will do it on my birthday.
They're all going to do it. It's just how long you have to talk to them about it and convince them.
Hot Lips Houlihan will bring it up. It'll be her
idea.
That's a married guy advice right there.
Yeah, so she's, you know, you fuck the whore. She's not faithful to her husband. I bet you Frank's not the only guy she's hooking up with. Because it's me, and you know what? She's the military is going to keep her in shape. They train. She's, yeah, you know what?
And no one's touched on the fact that her nickname is Hot Lips. I mean, we've said Hot Lips, but there's a reason why.
Well,
yeah. Cause her pussy's on fire.
And that means I'm going to kill with pleasure, by the way. I'm not, you know what? Sometimes I feel bad about killing one in the Mary Fuck Kill, but I'm going to gladly kill Diane because she wasn't half the waitress that what's
Christy
what's,
Alley,
Christy Alley, yeah. Danny DeVito's wife. She, no, not oh, Christy Rhea Alley. Perlman. Oh yeah, yeah. Not Christy Alley. I'm Rhea thinking about Perlman. The other one. Who's the other waitress? The one
oh,
with black
what's,
hair.
Rhea Perlman or whatever it is.
Yeah, yeah. She was Danny yeah. DeVito's wife. She's the one. She's got my respect. I don't want to fuck her. I'd probably still kill her if she was an option.
I don't think Danny does either.
I don't think he does anymore. I don't think they're together, are they?
I don't know, but we're not getting them as guests.
Yeah, so that's my answers.
No, that makes sense. I appreciate that, yeah.
Jeff,
I definitely get that Diane was a hassle. You're saying?
Yeah, I'm just going to smother her with a pillow. Like, I kind of want to do it myself. I don't want to pay someone to do it because I want to do it myself. Uh-huh. I want to kill Diane. These hands, just...
Yeah, keep your money in your pocket, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm thinking about, like, we're doing the Marry, Fuck, Kill, which I think is fun, but I'm thinking next episode, maybe doing a Would You Rather segment, you know? So we don't always do yeah. Marry, Fuck, Kill. We can, like, switch
yeah,
it up.
That, I feel like it's getting tired.
It's. I feel like I'm beating it to death. It's a fun segment, but we're doing yeah. it all the time, and if we mix it up with a couple others, and Family Guy, Would You Rather, and I think one good example is, like, Would You Rather Eat Shit That Tastes Like Chocolate? Or
nice.
Eat chocolate that tastes like shit.
Oh, wow. That's good. That, is you that know, from Family Guy?
No, I checked out Mary Fuck Generator. I was going to actually introduce it to this episode, but
okay.
But I didn't put enough thought into it, so we went to the Mary Fuck Kill because I have a lot of stuff written down for that. But I'm going to start keeping notes yeah. about... That might be next no, next week idea. for the fans next week.
Yeah. Both of those options do not yeah. sound to me at all.
we don't have to do that one in particular. In fact, if you're listening to this episode and you want to suggest a Would You Rather, we'll consider for the show. So send it in to ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com and we'll do your Would You Rather. Like if Jeff would rather be in an elevator with a Romanian person... Or if, you know, he'd rather be stabbed in the eye.
Right. Which eye?
This is, sorry, Brad is curious if this is episode 10, and if he's been listening, he knows that episode 10 was, I was going to do at least 10, right? And if I did 10, I'd probably do 100. But if I couldn't make it to 10, then I probably wouldn't. This is episode 11.
Right.
So we have done more
wow.
than
Wow. And here I thought I was the hurdle.
Clap, 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 clap,
just
clap.
No, just
wow, that's
bitch.
Amazing.
When you listen to episode 10, it was a pretty good one. We didn't make as big of a deal of it as I should have. But,
well,
I want to keep doing it. Do you want to keep doing
know,
it, Jeff?
Let's keep doing it. It's an achievement, but, I mean, I don't know. Like, I think it's a bit early to pat yourself on the back. Because, no, I mean, it's
Fuck
not
you,
even
I'm patting
like
myself on the back.
he literally is patting himself on the back.
I'm
no,
hugging
no, no,
myself.
No, but, I mean, it's achievement, but in, like, 10 episodes, that's really not that many episodes. We could probably do 100 more.
And that's what I always said, is if I could do 10, I could probably do 100.
Yeah.
But you know what's more like, important than episode 10?
What's
episode
that?
11. And every
there
episode,
you
know, this is more important than episode 10 because it's brought us farther, Brad.
Oh.
Thanks to you.
Well, yeah. I tried my hardest for you boys. So if any of our listeners, if any of your listeners...
No, you're bringing fans to the show. I know you are.
If any of your listeners will have a... I don't know if we're going to do that. Should we post a picture of you and me? No.
No.
No hashtags. You guys
I don't
know.
Put any pictures of myself on. Keeping myself mysterious.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, can I bring up one last thing on the episode?
I hope it's not the last thing.
Oh, wait. Do we have more time?
Yeah, dude. I mean, we had like a bunch of pre-recording. I think we've got like 20 minutes.
You know what really grinds my gears?
I want to know.
Stupid majors.
Oh, yes. I wrote this down. I forgot to reference it. Jeff, what do you think of majors? Because you're traveling a lot and you're meeting a lot of students, a lot of people who are...
Not just that. Like my ex-wife, her sister, took sociology, you know? Which, I mean, in her experience, got her a job at Blue Notes, and I don't mean corporate.
Oh, but I've seen her, and I've seen pictures of her, and she's got all the education she needs.
Overachiever?
No. I'm just saying, like, you can. There are so many people that will be like, "Oh, what are you studying? Like art history?" You're like, "Oh, that's great. Sociology, psychology." Look, unless you get a doctorate in one of those things, like, you're working at the mall. And so I've been meeting a lot of girls and trying to, like, you know, blah, 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 trying to, like, chat them up and shit. And that usually comes up. They say, oh, we're visiting here because we're students. And you're like, oh, great. Well, we're going to ask a bite. What are you studying? And they say the dumbest shit. And it's gotten so bad that, like, you know how, like, you tease someone a little bit when you're trying to flirt with them sometimes?
Yeah, I'd take it back, you know, to preschool.
Is this a thing or...
No. Wait, it's this really a thing? I'd have to do it with Michelle all the time.
Is this a thing or am I being a dick?
No, you're being a normal guy.
Michelle is only interested to me because I'm not too nice to her. She likes a little bit of shit. No girl wants the nice guy.
So if there's three girls and they're all students, ask them what they do, and two of them say, like, art history and shit like that, and I'll go to the third and I'll be like, please tell me you're doing something practical. And, like, I literally said that. We were at the pool, and I said that to a girl in bikini. And she was doing – her friends were doing dumb stuff. She was doing commerce, and I was like, ah. But let me tell you the dumbest thing I've ever heard. This girl, these two really cute French girls, they check in, and they're staying in my room. And, you know, I talked to them, like, hi, you know, I'm Jeff, blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you about some other people that aren't here in the room. This guy pissed in the shower, and you know, we're talking, they have thick accents because they're French, and they're going to school in Romania. They're going to school where I am right now.
Okay.
My bedroom. So I asked them, like, oh, what are you studying? And the one girl, she says, I'm studying medicine. Oh, you know what? Yeah, we're off to a good start. I like that you're doing something practical.
And you like drugs? Girl,
the really cute one. You know what she says to me?
What?
She's studying dance history.
That sounds useful.
I've seen that on YouTube, the history of dance.
Hold up. No, it gets worse. And I think to myself, like, she, you know, I want to make fun of her a little bit, but this girl is too cute. And so I'm just, so I go along with it. I'm just like, oh, dance history. What does that even mean? She's like, no. Dentistry. And I'm like, and a wave of relief comes over my body that I can actually have respect for this girl and don't have to, like, feign interest in her, like, wasted career, or not career, wasted education. Because I tell you what, dentistry, a real thing. Dance history is, like, just bananas.
Which is what prompted your trip, was dentistry coming full circle.
Oh, yes, I remember it was.
No. So this girl, now, she's the cute. So I've been, like, not really hitting on her, but, like, she's adorable. We've been going out and drinking and stuff like that and, like, talking.
Oh, yeah.
This is the dentist. This is the dance history girl, okay?
Dance history, now, yeah.
Dance history girl. So, but, you know, like, I'm never, this girl's, like, 21. Like, nothing's going to happen. Like, I'm, like, way, way older than her. So I keep that in mind. I'm trying to be respectful and whatever. So we're talking. She talks to me. I say I'm going to go to Bucharest. She says, you should come to Cluj-Napoli. And I'm like, why? And she's like, because that's where we're going in the morning. You should come with us. And I'm like, oh.
You should go wherever she is.
And
dance history,
I'm like,
girl?
Yeah. I'll,
she wants to.
Yeah. And I'm like, I'll come with you. Shit, let's do that. And so we get to talking about dentistry. And I said, that's funny because, you know, I actually came here to go to the dentist. And then we start talking about teeth. She's like, can I work on you? And I'm like, so no, she's
giggity.
Like, no.
Giggity, giggity.
So, and no, she's like, because she's a dentistry student, right? She said, no, I need to do so many procedures in the lab or whatever, or I won't graduate. And I'm like, yeah, but, like, you know, you're just a student. You're not, like, a dentist. She's like, I'm a fourth-year dentist. I'm like, wait, fourth year? This girl looks 21. Turns out she's not. And she's a fourth-year dentistry student out of 6 years.
Oh, wait, you find out she's older and you're losing interest in her?
No.
She's getting
so
closer
now,
to an appropriate age for you?
Now, she wants me to come in the classroom and fuck around in my mouth a little bit.
Wasn't that what you want to do to her?
That's gonna be the title of this episode. By the way, hold on. You just said the title of this episode.
No, let's bring it back to MASH a little bit. Remember the movie MASH. They had a dentist. You know what his name was?
Jawbreaker. I remember the
his
movie MASH.
His name was Jawbreaker, the Army's most well-equipped dentist.
Yeah. That's a great movie.
I don't know if it is because they have a fucking funeral at the end. What if for a guy who wants to kill himself? It's
but
dark.
He doesn't really die. They give him a fake pill, and they do the theme song to MASH, the TV show. Black guy is singing it, right?
Oh, it's called Suicide is Painless. The name of the song is Suicide is Painless. But anyway, so these girls, so I'm in Cluj now, and we're going to hang out tomorrow. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
And, I am not going to let her fuck around in my mouth.
All right, I'm going to write down, because I want to update on this girl. That I'm going to write it down now.
What?
Dance history.
Dance history, mouth fucker.
Corey, sure. Mouth. So if next week I go, Jeff, can you tell me about the dance history mouth fucker? Because I don't remember. You'll know what I'm talking about, hopefully.
Right.
You know what? We're good on time. I think we might have time for one more story. I want to... Brad, do you want to tell the story? Because I could. I mean,
I've got lots of stories, but one in particular that we were actually talking about before we went on the air.
Okay.
Was the time that me and an undisclosed friend, who you know, we'll just call him, I love all balls.
Okay, I think I know who you're talking
Absolutely.
About.
Absolutely. We went up to Center of Gravity, and that year it happened that there was Naughty by Nature playing.
Okay, what's Center of Gravity?
Cog. It's a music festival up in Kelowna.
In Kelowna, okay.
So we made our way up there, and it was a good time. You know, they had the bikini contest, and I Love All Balls was loving all balls. He was having a good time. And
good for him. Good for
they,
him.
They had
know?
Several different acts on the stage, but the one that I really wanted to see was Naughty by Nature. A little throwback to when I was a younger chap in the 90s. And we went to the After Hours party, and who do I run into?
Who do you run into?
Tretch from Naughty by Nature.
Right on.
Now, wow. he seems like wow, a really cool guy. Like, Jeff, you would love this.
It so wait, wait, like, paint the scenario. Where are you? The after show is at a pub?
It's a
bar?
Nightclub. It's a nightclub. It's got two floors. We're up on the top floor, and there's a little roped-off area, and I'm walking by, you know, having a good time. And I put my foot in my mouth. I've been known to do that, and Trevor's seen it on several occasions. But this was a big one.
But that's a salesman thing to do.
It is. I thought I was funny. I thought I was funny. And even after the fact, I still thought I was funny.
How many stories have that line in it, though? I thought I was funny.
So in my infinite wisdom, I decide to insult Tretch from Naughty by Nature. He stands up, and I said, you know, I'm a big fan. You're a little guy.
Is he a little guy?
He's like 5'5". I'm not huge, but he's 5'5", so I'm bigger than him. And
yeah,
I'm like...
You're about... You might be taller than me. I don't know, because everyone's taller than me, but you're about my height, and I'm
pretty
as
close.
Average as it gets.
Exactly. So I say this to him, and without fail, his bodyguards, who happen to be much larger than him and myself, Danny probably 6'2", 6'3", step in. What did you say? And me being the sales guy that I am, I said, I'll buy you a round of drinks.
That's what I said. Yeah, let's have some
That's
drinks.
That's what I
Grinch.
Said. So I didn't get to have a conversation with him, and... Yeah, it's that's definitely putting your foot in your mouth.
That is
you know,
and we all and I don't know if you guys are aware, but he's like a legitimate gangster. So yeah,
I don't know that. I'm not a big fan.
little white boy Damn. Putting his foot in his mouth.
You know what? I've had my fair run in with bodyguards because Hungarian bodyguards are fucking massive. They're scary and they're connected, and I was dancing sarcastically to Nirvana at a bar. You can all imagine what sarcastic dancing looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And a guy grabs me from behind, like hands on both shoulders, turns me around, and just loses fucking shit. And then I'm like, whoa, okay. And then he's like, you can't do this in here. It's a serious place. Blah, blah. And then I can't really tell because he's speaking Hungarian. And then... he goes and he grabs his radio, and I take that opportunity to get the fuck out.
Yeah, 100%.
Good move.
Because he got his radio, and I'm like, I don't want to see where this is going. And he just like, got out of there. Like,
see, and that's the thing. In another country, even though you don't know what he's saying, you can tell by his mannerisms and the tone.
You know what? he's got to call somebody on the radio, and I don't want to find out who.
No.
And that happened, like, a few different times. And I'm kind of – I'm behaving. I didn't think dancing sarcastically was that big of, like, a crime. I mean
– I didn't see the dance, so I can't really support or –
You can imagine, though.
I can't imagine Jeff dancing, no. I can't imagine.
So maybe it's always sarcastic?
He's got no rhythm. Like, you've got great balance.
What I want to know, though, is no, if this bodyguard is calling or bouncer is calling someone else, that means he doesn't think he can take care of Jeff. So how big was
He was busy. He was a bouncer, but he was also kind of the DJ.
You're just pissing off everyone.
Like, you know, that's
his game.
Yeah. But that was the first time, because there was another thing, you know, we're on the boat, sitting on the railing, it was like, rah, 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 like, what the fuck, man? And like, I'm not the only person yelled at. They're just all over the place. They're angry, hateful people that are fucking frightening. Frightening.
And I hope they're listening. So if you want to send us hate mail, it's inneverwantabeyoungagain@gmail.com. Romania, send us your hate mail.
Address
no, 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 Romania, Hungary.
Okay.
Yeah, Hungary, the frightening people. And let me tell you what, like, you have a few days like that, and you're like, man, I could really, like, I could smoke a joint, you know. But you know what? You can get 8 years.
Oh.
You can get 8 years in some of these places. You got serious life choices. Not do that.
And Jeff, I do not think they'll let you do the podcast from jail.
No,
I
kind of
need you
will.
Not to go in jail.
That just doesn't make sense. And, like, yeah, in Romania, uber strict, too. I think you can get, like, 3 years or 5 years for just, like, smoking a joint. It's crazy. So people don't do it.
Do you have any – I'm going to ask you, do you have any plans for, like – because we'll probably try to do this next weekend again. Where do you even know where you're going to be?
Nope.
Man.
Nope.
Fucking envy you. I got this whole family shit, like –
Trevor, no, do you know where you're going to be next
don't
week?
Don't envy me.
Dude, you kind of had a girlfriend for a minute, and this is your rebound.
Listen, I'm unemployed and homeless.
It's so much cooler than my employed and like.
But have you home. Kept up the dues on your membership at the YMCA or whatever it is?
Oh, because you listen. Jeff's
the premium
homeless.
Membership?
Jeff's been homeless
when I get back.
Before.
Yeah. When I get back, maybe I will.
For Jeff, though, it's not homeless.
Living in a van is not that bad.
It's without residence.
It's, you know what?
Yeah.
You made it work, like, as because you're a homeless guy
Jeff
who has a full time job.
The dress.
A good yes. full time job. And you're a homeowner. Yeah. The irony is all over the place.
And that's why it's funny.
Exactly.
But I almost feel like, is that a little bit mean to, like, legitimately, like, homeless people, like, I don't know if that's like thumbing my nose or I don't know. I thought it was raising awareness. At the
yeah,
time.
No, Jeff, you're I better thought, than most no, homeless people I know. I'm just saying right now,
no,
you're.
No, I was raising awareness and I was like trying to break the stereotype because there are people who have full time jobs that don't pay shit that live in their car, you know? And,
more than you would think.
And that's a real thing because we all assume
there's
they're
a struggle
like,
out there,
you know, they're drug addicted and like unemployed, but. No, that's not always the case.
Doing what they got to do.
Well, you guys both know the biggest problem with being homeless, it's not actually being homeless. It's trying to find somewhere to take a shit and shower.
Yes.
I don't know this, but Jeff does.
Oh, come on, Trevor.
No, it actually is.
You've slept in your car before. Maybe you aren't homeless, but you've slept in your car.
I've slept in my car many a times and probably woke up and drove home when I shouldn't have.
Wait, Brad, I feel like you might know a thing or two about this. Tell me about your experience.
What?
Have you slept in your car before?
I've definitely slept in my car before.
Oh, wait. Can I tell a quick story first?
Yeah.
Ah, I guess. I want to tell a story about when I took... Hey, Mom. Hey, Dad. I know you listen to every episode. You're going to like this one. So I'm about 17 or 18, and it's the first time I've done ecstasy. But I chased it with mushrooms. I don't know why.
It'll balance it out, right?
I, you know what? That's kind of been my attitude at life. Hasn't always worked out. Well, no, it's mostly worked out for me. But anyway, so I took some ecstasy. And back then, like, it's like when Launch was a new song. You know the Launch song? Which is going to be our actual music tonight. I ate them. I had some mushrooms. And I was up all night partying. It was great. It was really one of the best nights of my life. Here at the I Never Want to Be Young Again podcast, we don't endorse doing drugs. But still, one of the best nights of my life. And I everybody's sleeping. I'm still awake. And it's like 5 a.m. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to go home because I'm fine. And when I say I'm fine, I mean I'm not fine. I just think I'm fine, right? I was 17 or 18. I'm much older now. So I drive home. I start driving home, and I'm driving my shitty car, and I'm going down a road, and I get into Langley, and I'm like, I shouldn't be driving. Once I got, like, halfway home, I'm like, I need to pull over because of the drugs. And so I pull over, and there's a coffee shop. It was called Two Moons and a Wrinkle. And I pulled up in front of it, but in the Value Village parking lot. And I knew that I was impaired and I couldn't sleep in my car because I heard in law class that if they find you sleeping in your car and you've got your keys, you can, so whatever, I close the door, I sit on the ground and lean against my car. And I'm like, this place opens in like an hour and a half. I'm just going to like hang out. There's no smartphones. This is 1997, right? And I'm just going to sit here and like the sun's kind of coming up a bit. It's not a bad looking day and I'm comfortable and I get out of my car. I figured that was important, not being in my car in case somebody came around. And at around 10:30 a.m., somebody woke me up. I'm asleep against my car and they woke me up. I guess I looked pretty shitty. They go, hey man, you need to move. When that guy gets here, he's going to be pissed off you're sleeping on his car. So he assumed I didn't own a car. I went in. Got myself a coffee and a scone. I needed that 2.5 hours of sleep. Went home, slept for the next 10 hours, I guess.
Your body knows what you need.
I guess so.
Man, that's offensive that he didn't think it was your car.
It wasn't that nice of a car.
Still,
it was an Oldsmobile Firenza.
Ooh. Yeah. A J-body.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
It was basically a Cavalier. And,
yeah, but a fancy Cavalier because it was a Buick.
Well, it was squared off. It looked like a Cutlass in a Vice.
Absolutely. It was closer to the Cimarron.
It was.
Don't worry, Trevor. At the same time, I had a Skyhawk.
Nice.
Terrible cars.
Yeah. But yeah, man, finding a respectable place to poop. And showering is the most difficult part of not having a fixed address.
True.
Yeah, it really is. Now, I don't know if you guys know how it feels to like not have had a shower in a few days. That has nothing to do with me living in a van. I shower every day. But I mean, just like if you're camping or something like that, you know, you haven't showered in a long time, or you're on one of those road trips that's like that, you feel like trash. You feel disgusting and you're irritable and whatever. And I think, like, man, if there was just, like, some way that, like, homeless people in the city could just get their shower on, I bet that will put, like, a boost in their step.
Well, they'd feel a million times better.
There's a dude who's got a truck with, like, showers in it, and he does it for homeless people, lets them get haircuts and shave. And
I've seen it. That's amazing. I love that. I've seen that with toilets, too. They park one of those, you know, like those movie, like those mobile dressing room kind of things.
Yeah, yeah.
They pull those those nice portable like bathrooms like around and like, you know, park them and whatever. And I think that's great because respectable place to shit, nice place to shower. You get out of the shower and you're just like, I could get a job. No, I don't even want to. No, but like, you know, you feel like $100.
Well, $100. You know what? My mother, I grew up pretty comfortable. I grew up pretty suburban. Both my mom and my dad grew up a little poorer than me. And one thing my mom said, I think I must have been like in my teens, 14 to 17, you know, privileged, like, but I'm listening to a lot of Nirvana, you know, like, I think I've got it tough. Like I've got teenage angst. And
yeah,
my mom's reminiscing about something about growing up. And my grandpa was a very hardworking man, tried to provide for his family, but there were times that were tough. And she said one year that I think social services or welfare had sent them a gift basket for Christmas. And in the gift basket was like soaps and cleaners and stuff that just sometimes would be a luxury to buy, mm-hmm. right? Like you're, you know, like stuff that, and she's like, oh, I remember being so excited. You know, they had all this stuff. They had like, you know, bounce sheets and cleaners and soaps and stuff. And, you know, and then I realized it was one of those times, you know, I have a little, sometimes you're put in your place a little bit, mm-hmm. right? And that was one time I was thinking, fuck, yeah. I've never had to worry about any of that shit. And that just reminds me of that, you know?
And, you know, and that, you grew up a little bit more. I'm more along the lines of growing up like your parents did. I can remember standing in the lineup being a teenager at the food bank with my mom because my dad had busted up his knee. And you lose your job, and he made some choices. He took a buyout instead of rehab, and the buyout only goes so far in the 80s.
My dad was also injured in work, but took a pension from it and had a tough life, would have rather been uninjured from
it. Of course, 100%.
But that the buyout probably, like you said, it lasts so long.
Exactly. That was a few years where it was decent, and then you know, you have to bum around and find a job, and it's pretty sad standing not that I'm judging anyone, but you know, going to the food bank, it is a handout, and you grow up with a little different perspective. So when my kids think it's hard because the data is ran out on their phone, I'm like, get a life. What, you're driving a 2013 Hyundai Accent? Really? Life's tough because it doesn't have Bluetooth?
Yeah.
At the same breath, being a child of parents who had a rough life and I have a better life than they had, mm-hmm. my dad always treated me like I was spoiled as shit. And I was like, man, you're being fucking hard on me. sometimes. And dad, I know you're listening to this. And you know what? I've got a great relationship with my father. I'm lucky that way. And he made me the man today. I'm kind of glad he kicked my ass a little bit, even though I can criticize the shit out of him now. Because I'm grown man, Dad. You hear that? 35. Anyways, that was just for me, by the way.
Your dad's like, oh, man, I could still knock
you're
this
gonna
kid out.
You're going to edit that out.
I won't. You know what? I'm Dad, if you were listening to this, please give me a call and tell me when you heard just this and say, just tell me what you think of me. I'd love to hear it. You know what, guys? We've actually run a little long here. This has been a great time, Brad.
Oh, I've had an amazing time with you guys.
You've been a great guest. Jeff, you had a good time?
It was okay. I was sleepy.
I know. We wake you up in the middle of the night. Your commitment to this podcast is stronger than my own, because I don't think I'd get up at 4 a.m. to do this.
I'm going
to
be honest. I sat here for over an hour with you guys, and I think the only thing I got out of it, other than a great time, is that Jeff has some mouth fucking going on soon, tomorrow?
Yeah. We're gonna ask about that.
No. I'm not going to. Like, my throat's already a little bit fucked. And you know what? I don't even, like, know this girl that well. I don't know if I want her fucking around my mouth.
I wasn't talking about her in your mouth.
Yeah, well, I...
Hey,
yo. So, yeah, you know what? Brad, thanks a lot for coming on. This was great. We will definitely have you back on the show. Jeff, thanks again for waking up in the middle of fucking morning.
Absolutely.
And doing this stupid little hobby of mine. I want to thank all the listeners who are listening in. And basically... okay, next week, what was our celeb guest? What was our celebrity guest?
Well, you said you were going to try and get Trench, but...
Yeah. Brad, can you help us out with that? You know Trench. So, we're going to try to get Trench from,
Naughty by Nature.
Naughty by Nature. We're going to try to get them on. Yeah. He's probably not going to show up, but listen next week and we might have Trench. Please check us out on our website, ineverwanttobeyoungagain.com. Send us mail, like I said, if you send me a story or any mail. I want to send some shout-outs for the people that liked us on SoundCloud, because we have like 3 episodes on SoundCloud. And like us, friend us on Facebook. I'd love to see some comments from the fans if you're listening to this. And I know a handful of you personally that are listening to the show. Say, hey, what's up on the thing? Or say, fuck you. I don't care. Like, be shitty to us. I just want to know somebody's listening. I want to... say that we are making efforts to try to get on Tinder and I are not Tinder. Jeff's already on Tinder. I want to get on to iTunes, Stitcher, and Brad wants me to take a shout out to One Corner, which is the music that we're listening to in the background. He suggested it's very popular here in Africa right now.
My wife is obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's One Corner, and apparently the dance. The dance move is to fuck a corner.
Literally.
But right now we've got a thing. So I've been trying to get us on iTunes and Stitcher and a media where you can listen to this show, subscribe, have the episode download automatically, and be able to listen to in a way that you can download, not use data, pause, and it, much easier. But we have to upgrade our website. We're looking at a cost of about $420 Canadian. So I've already put a little bit of money into this. I know that, like, intern Brad offered to put some money in. I would put some money in. But if you want to send us donations, you can e-transfer us the money at ineverwanttobeyoungagain@gmail.com. $10, $20, I don't care. Send me a little bit of money. It would really go towards this. After we upgrade our website to a premium episode, we will be on an easier-to-listen forum, and our website will have a donate button. I'm not trying to make money on this. You know, this actually costs me about $100 a month to do, which is not a big deal. But the next step here is, yeah, I've got other bills. I just bought a bunch of wood you heard about, you know. I've got bills. So if you want to send us a little money, a little donation, we'll shout out to you. We'd love to hear it. It would be very helpful. Jeff, do you got anything to say before I let off here?
Absolutely not. I'm going to sleep.
Good night, Jeff. Okay. And have a good night, guys.
Bye.
Hey, Brad. You remember they can't do this on television?
Yeah.
Do you remember the segment they had where they went into lockers and opened them up and said they did the joke there?
Yeah.
Okay. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
cow. Moo!